Saga Talks.
Welcome to Saga Talks, our podcast by Kiss FM and Saga Festival. I would like to welcome here Rehab. Welcome, man. Happy to have you here.
What's up? What's up?
So the world started to reopen and big events are happening again all over the world, you know? Except, of course, places. How does it feel to be back on the stage?
It's very good. It's good to connect with the fans. It's good, you know, during COVID, I made a lot of music. So it's very nice to finally play it out and feel the energy, feel the people, feel the joy.
May I ask and, how many tracks you created during the these 2 years?
I mean, it's definitely 40 or 50. Like, okay. Yeah, but a lot of them I will not release. They will just only be for playing.
You are for so many years already a festival headliner. Is it hard to stay relevant in this world where every trend changes so quickly?
I think it's about appreciating change and appreciating trends. So like you can perhaps dislike some of the trends, but you can learn from them. And then, you know, it's almost like a cuisine of food, you know, like things change, but you can fuse things. So I fuse it, and I think that's what keeps me relevant. And I think that's it, actually. It's actually a very good question you're asking, but I feel like I'm still excited and curious. And when you're excited and curious, you like to evolve.
Exactly. I mean, you already have a 13 years of career, and you have seen a lot of changes. On the festival side, on the performance side, but also on the producer side. You are also a writer, a remixer, a label owner. How can you find time to do all of this? I mean, what's your secret?
I think, like I said, I'm curious and I like it. So when you're curious, you are like a kid. So you have it gives you energy. So I think that's the biggest reason. Very good questions.
you need to do new stuff all the time, yeah.
I just think because I love the music and it comes from a source of energy that I love the music, that source is kind of unlimited. I always said to myself, if that source is not there, that's the moment where I should make some changes in my life. But I think also with COVID, the pandemic, it gave you a little bit break to appreciate things more.
Yeah, but this brings another question into my mind. Okay, the source is there, and I wanted to ask you, many things changed in the last 2 years. What changed for you? But before that, because you said this COVID pandemic time, these 2 years changed a lot for everyone. Were you afraid at any time that you would need to switch direction and drop music?
No, never.
Okay.
No, music was always, you know, like I also produce music and music will be everlasting. No, I was not really worried, to be honest. I think, actually zero worries.
Okay, so many things changed in the last 2 years. What changed for you overall?
I think appreciation of like the profession I have and the touring, you appreciate it more. I think it's anything in life when the value, even if you think you appreciate it and it's high for you, when it goes away, you know, the value becomes more high.
Yeah.
And with COVID, you realize that, but also I realized like to rest better, to take care more of my health, also take more breaks. So now, this summer I'm doing shows, but I'm not doing as many shows as normal because I also want to, you know, take more breaks. And also, I feel like when I'm more healthy and when I'm more rested, that I make better music.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're taking it slowly, baby steps, to see what will happen and not going all at once with the shows and like it was before, I'm pretty sure. Let's talk about music a little bit. You have a song called My Pony. I'm into this music business thing as well, and I noticed recently a lot of people are focusing on readapting, reworking stuff. And of course, I know My Pony. I danced on my Pony on the original version back in the years. I was wondering, what other tracks would you like to rework? I mean, how do you choose these tracks? Is it coincidence? It's someone that asks you to rework a track, or you go to studio and think, I would like to do a new version, a new remix, but it ends up being an adaptation or a rework, and I'll release it like this. What's the story behind this?
I think I was just listening to music, and then I came to a 90s playlist, and I enjoyed that so much, and then that hook stayed in my mind.
Yeah.
And when the hook stays in your mind, and then you're working on music, and then you speed it up in your mind, like, because the original is much is a different tempo, you'd be like, hey, that's maybe a cool idea. I think when music enters my subconscious, then is where I start to work on it.
I noticed also on your Twitter a few weeks ago, your post about the collaboration with Monsta X, and I followed the release a week ago. Can you tell me more about the story behind this track? Because people are used to see the dance EDM DJs, you know, producers using different type of vocals. I mean, this area of K-pop is so little explored still. So it was a nice surprise to see a collaboration about between a famous K-pop act, a famous worldwide DJ, and a famous K-pop act. I mean, it almost came from nowhere. So what's the story behind this?
I mean, I made some K-pop tracks in the past with FX Girls. I did some remixes for different acts. I always loved K-pop. I love going to Korea. I love the culture. And I love what's very nice about K-pop, how they take care of the whole image, the artistic direction, the creative direction. So I wanted to work with them. I also am working on another record with them. And they were like, oh, you want to jump on this record, make some changes. And I have another idea that I sent them, which they're working on. So it's just like, I just want to do new things. And I tour Asia very heavily.
Yeah, I noticed. Japan, China, I noticed your fascination for Japan also and other territories around. So, and I wanted to ask you about how do you feel people from that region compared with people from Europe in terms of reaction during a festival or a performance?
I think the reaction is everywhere in the world enthusiastic. The difference is just like the culture of the music, you know, like, in, of course, when you go to Korea, it's more K-pop, you can blend on some things. The culture is just different. But of course, you know, what is very interesting, for example, when you do a festival in, I would say, like Thailand, you know, it's at a different time, it's different people, it's a different culture. They like different songs. Some songs, you know, don't work there. Some songs are here. So everywhere is a new exploration. So for me, there's not a difference of crowd reaction. It's more like how you interact with the crowd, with the music. That's different. You know, they like certain songs more. I mean, I can look in the data. Let's say if I look on my data of my streaming services
and see what they reacted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I was amazed by an experience I had in Japan. For instance, 10 years ago, I've been to Japan, and I joined a show, if I may say, a show in a club in Tokyo, with a DJ that came there. I mean, a local DJ. It was packed as a, you know, a special type of performance. A DJ Hello Kitty, and you know, Hello Kitty came on the stage and started to mix, and everybody was. And I noticed the reaction of people in that club, and I noticed the reaction to music, and also, like I said, the type of tracks they used in that performance. And I was thinking, like, damn, I'm on a different planet. I mean, it's totally different than what I saw in a club in Amsterdam, what I've saw in a club in Spain or other places where I was lucky to travel and experience. Speaking of these shows in Japan, as I asked you about their reaction, do you go there with a certain structure of your mix in mind, or do you adapt on their reaction?
I adapt on the reaction. Okay. Everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all inspiration that comes from the crowd.
Yes.
Which we'll see, of course, in Bucharest. Also, speaking of change, if you reflect to your career so far, is it anything that you would do different?
You know, that's an interesting question, but the relevance of thinking about it is not very important because there's changes never to be made. There's only the present. But of course, you know, I think if I would can go back to my younger self, I'd be like, in, you know, the early stage of the career, enjoy it more, enjoy the moments, celebrate the moments, and don't look too far in the future. I think when you're very young, you're always a little bit focused on how long the career will last, how you will succeed. And I think like maybe 5-6 years ago, I really realized like, hey, let's enjoy it more. You know, I think the early stage of my career, you're a little more stressed, a little more worried.
Depending, I don't know if age is important when I'm thinking of this, but do you think people now in the industry, speaking of DJs, producers, are trying to burn much quicker certain steps that they need to make in order to succeed or to reach a certain level in their careers? Do you think people are more in a hurry than more focused on building something more powerful?
I think it's about, at least for me, I think it's enjoyable when the steps are going slow and you are always growing a little bit. When you grow too rapidly, you also crash pretty rapidly. And I think also it's hard to handle for the ego when you grow too quick. I think it's good to be humbled sometimes, at least for me, that worked out really well. So I think slow growth, steady growth is important. That's why I enjoy my career, you know, like been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still growing. It's enjoyable. Imagine if you reach all your peaks. For example, I've never played Saga Festival, but I'm 13 years in the business.
Yeah.
Or 15 years even, you know. Actually 16 years. So 16, you know, but I never played Saga Festival. So it's nice to try new things, to do new things at this stage
of
the career.
To go in a new place and meet a different crowd and see the reaction like we discussed. You know why I ask you about burning steps? Because I noticed this on this side of social media. Everybody tries to do something quick, something interesting, something in 10 seconds, 15 seconds, something new all day long, something new this week, something new. I mean, this cannot be applied in music because music needs to be carefully produced. And you know, you can't get attention with a short track. You need to work on a structured track. Do you think this type of speed we see in the content creation on other fields can move to music at some point? I mean, or do you feel it moved already to music also?
Wow, I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay, let me put it this way. Do you feel that recently people are more focused on quantity than quality in music?
I think the attention span is shorter, but at the end, quality will win because it will prevail, you know, because when it's quality, people will go on repeat for it. It's the same as like, you know, there's a lot of TV shows, a lot of songs, but at the end, the quality wins. But I do believe that people, like in the past, because there's so much stimulus and impulses, that you listen less long to a song. The growth is less long. I do believe in that, yeah.
Okay. When was the exact moment in your career when you called back home and said, hey mom, I made it. Can you remember that moment?
I think it was sort of my first USA tour. Yeah, in 2011, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any... like say strong memory from that tour, first thing that comes to your mind from the tour?
I think it was nice to see that people really enjoyed the music that I was producing. I think this was the nicest feeling of it.
Okay, and this brings me to this second question, which is similar, but it's about festival. I wanted to know What was the first thought you had, if you can remember, after your first performance at a big major festival? Like you got off the stage and thinking about...
I think it was Nocturnal Wonderland, also in America. So this was a moment for me where I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yes, I mean, this is how future looks like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, that was a nice moment.
Do you remember the first time you heard one of your songs on the radio?
Yeah, this must be like 2008, 2009. It was a nice moment. But I still enjoy it every time. Like, it was funny. Sometimes you're in a taxi and then you can, you know, like hear it and it's like a nice feeling.
Okay. And what are your plans for this summer? Besides coming back to Bucharest soon, of course.
With Tomorrowland back to back with Afrojack, some festivals in the US and some festivals in Europe. Also at the end of the month going to Thailand. So yeah, just some festivals. Not too many shows, like two or three a week. So it's nice.
Okay. And nice. On the production side, on the music side?
I'm finishing up my album. Got also a song with Afrojack, got a song with Timmy Trumpet, a lot of new music coming up.
Okay. We are looking forward to hear it. And for the end, please, a shout out to all the people coming to Saga Festival and also for the Kiss FM Romania listeners that will hear this podcast and will be at Saga Festival as well.
What up? This is Rehab. It's going to be very special. It's my first time. I'm going to give everything I got. Also, I'm bringing a lot of edits. And also, I will be working with a Romanian act. You will see a surprise coming.
Okay. Okay. That's new. I didn't expect this.
Yeah, this is still top secret, but...
I will find out. Okay, Rehab, thank you so much for your time and thank you for talking with us. And we are looking forward to see you in Bucharest in less than a month or a month. Yeah. 3, 4, 5 of June on National Arena. Can't wait. And stay safe.
Thank you, bro.
Cheers, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Yo, yo. Saga Talks.